Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, in studio with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you today?
Hello, Mike.
It's good to see you.
It's good to be seen and good to see. Yeah, I like to have sight and I like to be seen.
He said as he took his glasses off.
I know.
Anyway.
I can't be seen without your glasses.
You're probably better. I should take them off.
Yeah.
But anyways.
That was an insult.
Not
Jeez.
Really. Not really.
I'm not that
You got
ugly.
A face for radio. We've been doing that for years. You know, well, today's show, I think, is going to be a great show. It's not something we've done before. You know, as an OBGYN, one of the things that I oftentimes have to deal with is giving difficult diagnoses to parents.
It's tough.
Especially with, you know, we know from other shows that we've done that when people get a diagnosis of Down syndrome, we know that 90% of those babies are going to be aborted.
Right.
Okay. And there's newer technologies available now called non-invasive prenatal testing that allow couples to find out much earlier if there is any potential problem with their child from a genetic standpoint or even from a metabolic standpoint.
Yeah.
And so I think what we're going to see from this is a greater and greater pressure from obstetricians and gynecologists.
Easy for you to say, right?
Yeah, to, you know, to counsel towards termination of these pregnancies.
Right.
But as part of our faith, we know that many of our patients are never, ever going to have this testing done, and they're not going to, you know, we place things in God's hands and we accept what God has given us.
Well, you know, and the thing is that, like in Belgium, they're euthanizing babies that have terminal illness
right.
or have a disease that is a comorbid condition that potentially would, you know, have morbidity to it.
So in my own personal opinion, I feel that eugenics is taking on a whole different look, and we're just kind of, putting a face of happiness on it. Just look how much better your life is going to be, and how much better society is going to be, the burden that's not going to be placed on society, and this child is not going to suffer, and all of these things. But, you know, in this conversation that we see, we never, ever hear talk of families who have children with special needs.
Who embrace it.
Right. And many times I've had to talk to families after we've delivered their child because their child does have some type of special needs, whether it's Down syndrome or some other type of anomaly or some other type of genetic abnormality. And so, many times it's a difficult situation, but then they can see the beauty in this life that's been given to them to have and to hold.
You know, and what's interesting is that, I mean, this is something, as you say, since there are so many Down syndrome children that are aborted, I remember as a child growing up and going to Mass and seeing these loving couples taking care of these 20-something, 30-something, 40-something Down syndrome children or different genetic anomalies. And they were just doting on this child. They were lovingly caring for them. And it was such a beautiful thing to see, the giving, the self-sacrifice that went into that.
Right. And I think it's something that, you know, I call these babies anchor babies because if you have other children of the family or other relatives, they keep you focused on that family. And I think it adds a different dynamics to the family. But let's talk to somebody who actually has experience in this. And let's bring onto the show. We're very blessed to have with us Jeannie Ewing, who is from the Fort Wayne area, whose daughter, Sarah, has special needs. And Jeannie is a blogger. She has a blog site at lovealonecreates.com, but has also either authored or co-authored several books, Navigating Deep Waters, Reflections, Grief to Grace, From Grief to Grace, which is a new book that just came out here in 2016. Jeannie, welcome to the Catholic Doctor Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Jeannie, tell us a little bit about your daughter, Sarah, and what her special needs are.
Sarah was born with a rare genetic condition called Apert syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
From what we know, it occurs in about 1 in 200,000 live births. The stats vary a little bit on that, depending upon the source that we've looked at, but that's from peer-reviewed scientific journals that
right.
just kind of conflict in terms of the range of that. So Apert syndrome is a form of craniosynostosis, which means that one or more sets of her cranial plates were prematurely fused. And in Sarah's case, it was the bicoronal plates.
Right.
And then also it's characterized by syndactyly, which are the fusion of the fingers and toes. And so her hands look like little mittens.
Right.
But what we understand about Apert is that every system in the body can potentially be affected. So when we took her to the geneticist at, 10 days old to get a confirmation of that diagnosis through a blood test, we had this printout from the geneticist medical book that basically said it went through every single, these are the potential vision problems or cardiovascular or pulmonary or dermatological issue. I mean, on and on. And I just was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of overwhelming. So not only do we have to face between 20 and 60 surgeries on average throughout Sarah's lifetime, but there are other specialists that we may need as right. she gets older.
Now, did you know this diagnosis before Sarah was born, or did you find out after Sarah was born?
I did not know. So as you were doing your intro, I was one of the, Ben and I were a couple that we chose not to do the prenatal testing for the very reasons that you mentioned.
Right.
And so I had a very normal pregnancy. I was very happy. That was just a very joyful, enjoyable, I guess, time.
Uh-huh.
And I had 3 ultrasounds. There was no indication of anything that was amiss. The only, concern would be the best word that my doctor had was there was an excess of amniotic fluid, so I was measuring a lot bigger than I should have been.
Right.
And Sarah's head looked like, in the final ultrasound, that it was measuring a little bit bigger, which mm-hmm. now makes sense because
right.
people with Apert syndrome in utero, they don't swallow the amniotic fluid like a normal baby would, a typical
right.
child. So, I didn't know until she came out.
Yeah, and when she was born by cesarean section, from your story that I've read on your blog site. And you found out very soon afterwards, that she had some abnormalities present. And sometimes you can just tell by looking at them when they're born. How did you and your husband first handle that situation, that diagnosis?
Well, she was one of those babies that you could tell right away. She
right.
Her features were very severe. She had a protruding forehead. Her eyes were kind of buggy.
Uh-huh.
And then she had those mitten hands and her feet looked different. So we knew right away when she was born. And honestly, we were just enshrouded in God's grace because the on-call OBGYN that delivered Sarah, I'd never met her before.
Uh-huh.
And she came in my recovery room and she just said, she was just like astounded and said, I cannot believe what I experienced today with this birth of your daughter. I'll never mm-hmm. forget it in my whole life. She said, I've delivered babies in the Bronx. And she's like, I've seen parents walk away from their children when something like this happens, or the husband will leave the wife. And she said, the way that you and your husband responded to your daughter proved to everybody in the OR today that you're either Christians or you're in denial. And she said, and that was kind of a cheeky comment, but she said, we chose to believe that you were Christians because you just immediately embraced Sarah. You loved her. You wanted to be close to her and just get to know who she was, and you just trusted what was going to happen. And she said, we all felt God's presence as I was delivering Sarah today. So that was a remarkable statement from someone else, observing how my husband and I responded to Sarah right away.
Well, that's such a great blessing and such a great story. But I think it goes back to what I mentioned when we were talking about the show. I mentioned these are anchor babies, but these babies also are great evangelists in that they can have a significant impact on the lives of other people that you never would have expected had they not been born or had they been normal. In seeing God's grace and in seeing the beauty of God's creation. And did you find that Sarah has that same effect on many other people that she's come into contact with?
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, there's not one person that's met Sarah that doesn't walk away feeling uplifted, really strengthened in their faith. In fact, one of our friends from our parish had a dream about Sarah shortly after she was born. He didn't know it was her because she was about 10 years old or something, with her older sister, our daughter Felicity. And so after this dream happened, he said to Ben and me, he said, I believe your daughter has a gift of healing. And I've seen at least that in terms of spiritually. So
right.
when we go to waiting rooms, which is all over the place because she has lots of specialists and surgeons, you know, we see people, which we know they have a story. We don't know what it is, but I can see the weight they're carrying in their face and on their shoulders, and they just look tired and overwhelmed, maybe worried. Sarah is very extroverted. She's like a Downs baby. Uh-huh. She walks up to everybody, and she just smiles and says hi, and she doesn't let people go with a simple hi in response. She says, "What you doing?" or "I like your shirt," or something like that to engage them.
Uh-huh.
And it's for me as mom walking around following her, I can see the burden lifted off of people. I can see a spiritual change. There's something that returns in terms of a light in their eyes. Their smile, it's like there's some kind of radiance. It's a spiritual gift. I really see that. And so other people have said the same thing. Very many people, even strangers that have met Sarah, they're moved to tears sometimes just by her little presence because she's this walking, living witness of Christ.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. You're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And with us on the line is Jeannie Ewing, whose daughter is affected by Apert syndrome. And we're talking about her daughter's story and what it's like to have a special needs child.
Now, Jeannie, my question is, so you had obviously grace propelled you to be able to have the reaction you did in the delivery room. And obviously that was very palpable in the room. The spirit was there. Now, what would you say to those people who do not have that response? What that they have this discovery in the delivery room, or they have this discovery in the nursery, and it just floors them. They're thrust into despair. They don't know where to turn. What would you say to them?
Well, that's why I write about grief, because it's very personal. And it's different for every person. So just because I responded that way right after Sarah was born, shortly before she was born, before I knew she had any kind of condition, I was in a very dark place because I had to have a C-section, which I did not want to do. And then 2 weeks after Sarah was born, I was in a very dark place spiritually. So I think people need to remember that if you're in a raw place of just shock and you're trying to process what's going on and what your life is going to be like, so you're kind of grieving the loss of what you thought it would be like, that's perfectly normal. I just like to tell people that God is with us in the darkness because God is a God of mystery, and not every question needs to be answered. That's something that really gave me a lot of solace and consolation when I was really wrestling with some of the anger and the really deep sorrow that was associated with the realization that our life was not going to be the way I thought it would be. And yet, I came to a place where the Lord just presented to me. He said, "You know, Jeannie, you can choose to become bitter and angry, and you'll end up blaming me or other people for everything that happens that's bad, that you perceive as bad in your life. Or you can choose the path to the cross, which leads to victory and resurrection." Yep. So I knew that I knew that choosing the cross meant a hardship. It would be tough, but I also knew that His grace would guide me every step of the way. So that's what I tell people, is that not all negative emotions necessarily translate into a loss of faith. What's important is that people remain faithful to God. So you don't stop going to Mass. You don't stop praying. You don't stop going to adoration. You embrace the people that are offering to, you know, pray a rosary with you or offer a holy hour, because we had those things happen. And my husband and I went to Mass together 2 days after Sarah was born, and we just cried together. So this is the way the Lord heals us. He meets us where we are, and then He draws us to a place of joy and peace.
Right. Well, you know, interestingly, I think that, you know, there's a lot of interesting comparisons between different stories where you're at a crossroads, spiritually speaking and temporally speaking as well, and you have to make a choice. There's a woman around here who does forgiveness talks all over the diocese. Her son was murdered viciously at Franciscan University, and when she found out about the murder, she said, "You know what?" She made a conscious choice. She says, "I can either go into despair and anger and bitterness, or I can embrace this and know that the will of God is in this somewhere."
Yes.
Right. Well, you know, Jeannie, many times when couples get this, and I've heard this from my patients in the past, they feel that their life as they knew it was over. Mm-hmm. That they just don't know how they're going to carry on. But from looking at your blog and learning about you, this really helped you to blossom into what you wanted to be and allowed you to be the writer and speaker and everything else that you had thought about doing before, correct?
Oh, yes. It's so funny how God works. It's amazing. Right. It's very humbling because as a child, I aspired to become a published author. And I kind of abandoned that dream when I entered adulthood, and the pragmatic side of me was like, I don't want to be a starving artist.
Right.
And yeah, you know, I had always been a writer. I journaled every day. I have a prayer journal that I write, you know, letters to God or poems, things like that. So I had no clue this is how the Lord would manifest and fulfill that dream. But that's part of why, you know, just like the woman whose son was murdered, we do have a choice. We can choose to say, this is horrible, and why would a good God allow something like this to happen? Or we can say, you know what, everything is grace, just
right.
like the little flower said. So whether it's God's perfect or permissive will, everything mm-hmm. is willed by God, even our sufferings and our trials and our tribulations. Therefore, there has to be something that's beautiful and good that's in that. Maybe we don't see it when we're kind of in the midst of this darkness, but at the same time, the Lord is still present in that darkness. Sometimes he's silent. Sometimes he chooses to just sleep within our hearts, which I kind of talk about in my book too. But at the same time, there's always going to be a point where the Lord reveals something greater than we could ever imagine when we say yes, when we trust him and we follow him.
Absolutely. And I think those are beautiful words, and I think it's absolutely true. But I think what it also does is it kind of brings out our imperfections, in so to speak, in that we see how happy and loving and beautiful this child is and how it changes lives in these things. And it makes us look back and see that, you know what, I don't really have a lot to be upset about or gripe about. I need to accept what I've never been able to accept many times, but that I see in this child. Going back to, again, to what we said about your daughter being an evangelist, you know, there is grace in everything there. And I remember hearing something on a TV show once that maybe this is what angels look like, the special needs child,
mm-hmm.
yet this is what we've evolved into, and that's normal people.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know,
that's
and,
beautiful.
And so, you know, So tell us a little bit about where Sarah is right now in her process and in her lifespan and what's going on with her right now.
Like her development, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, she's 3 years old. She's had 6 surgeries. 2 of them have been on her skull. She's had 3 hand surgeries and 1 on her feet. And then she also has had some ENT surgeries for
okay.
her.
Okay.
Like ear tubes and removing the adenoids and everything. Sarah actually, you know, considering that there are some people with APERT that are severely impaired, whether it's physically or cognitively or both, she is really thriving. She's really a medical marvel. I mean, everywhere we take her, the doctors and the nurses and all the specialists, they cannot believe how well she's doing because most of the people with APERT they see have a lot more problems than she does. She's talking clearly. She can articulate really well, so she doesn't need any speech, which is unusual.
That is unusual, yeah.
Yep. She does not need any hearing aids, which is also unusual for APERT. She is very sharp cognitively. So most people with APERT have, you know, an average intelligence or some below average, but Sarah's showing she's just meeting all of the developmental milestones. The only impediments to her development are based on the fact that her hands are different, and so mm-hmm. she has a lot of occupational therapy. She does need a little bit of physical therapy because she had some delays because of all the surgeries, so delays in walking and movement. But really, we have hopes for Sarah to have a typical life because we've met people that have APERT that are adults, and some of them are married with families. Some of them have college degrees. They work and live on their own. And it's not that we expect that necessarily because we know that anything could come up at any moment in terms of a developmental setback. But at the same time, we can see that that's a possibility. And so we're just trying to help her reach her potential every day.
Sure. And I think if people are interested in seeing Sarah and learning a little bit about her story, go to your website, which is lovealonecreates.com. And you can see the story of Sarah Ewing on there, and it's an absolutely adorable video. I absolutely loved it.
It's really funny because as I told you earlier, one of my friends, a local family here, have an Apert syndrome. That's their eighth. So they had the chance of having an Apert syndrome all the way through because it is obviously genetically passed. And their eighth and final child had Aperts. And Kevin is just an absolute joy. Ironically, he is born on the same day as one of my sons, only 7 years apart. Well, 8 years apart. And he's just a joy whenever we get together with the family, and my 10-year-old is just dotes on him and just hangs around with him and just loves him for every little thing that he does, because he's such a blessing and such a joy to be around.
Jeannie, in the time we have left, tell us a little bit about your new book coming out, From Grief to Grace, and tell us what that book is about and what your message is in that.
Well, it was just published about 6 weeks ago, or released, I should say, for publication, and people can go on Sophia Institute's website, or they can go on Amazon and just find it there. But what I talk about is, I do share the story of Sarah's birth, because it's very remarkable, and then I talk about what is grief. So instead of, I think most people think grief is almost equivalent to when there's a death, and we don't look beyond that. So I wanted to kind of expand people's perception of what grief is, or when it can occur, or how it can manifest. And I just basically say it's after any loss that you have in life. Mm-hmm. And then what I try to walk the reader through are six spiritual principles that have helped me to go from a place of really this deep, dark void to a place of really living in God's grace and in joy. And so that's kind of the crux or the meat of the book. And then I do have some meditations on the Sorrowful Mysteries, Stations of the Cross, and the Seven Sorrows of Mary that I wrote. Because right. I think that it helps people, if they can meditate on the suffering of Christ and his mother, to put in perspective, kind of like you guys were saying earlier, put in perspective their own suffering, right. their own pain. And it kind of makes it us realize that we're walking that journey with the Lord, but he's also with us too.
Right. And I think your message can be very important, because I think the grief that people feel when they have a baby with special needs is the loss of normalcy.
Mm-hmm. And
so-called normalcy. Well, it's their new normal now, but they have such expectations. You know, I always tell patients, when they have a miscarriage, I expect them to grieve and to go through the whole grief process, because as you know, when you first become pregnant, you've got a name, you've got a face, you've got a bedroom, you've got a college fund, you've got a car, you've got marriages, everything else. You've created this person in your mind.
Yeah.
And so when you have a child who has special needs, either Down syndrome, Apert syndrome, or whatever it's going to be, there is that loss of normalcy that you have to grieve and then come to a realization about, that this is their normal. Not
yeah.
necessarily your normal, but their normal. They don't know any different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and, you know, as I think we're getting low on time, but one of the things that I really wanted to briefly ask you about is how this has affected your marriage. And it sounds to me like you were fairly deep into your faith already before this, but what has this done for your faith and your husband's faith?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't get asked very often. Well, first, you know, 80% of couples who have kids with special needs end up divorced. So that's a pretty important statistic. It's very sobering. My husband and I have both been very faithful Catholics. So going into this, it really challenged our faith, but yet it strengthened our marriage too. It's harder. Our marriage is harder because I'm the primary caregiver, and my husband's the primary breadwinner. And so our lives, our daily lives are very different. But at the same time, it goes back to the fact that Ben and I both look to the cross. So when things are really hard, and mostly it's because of stress, because we're just exhausted and totally emotionally depleted,
yeah.
we both will go to Mass together. We'll go to Adoration together. We'll pray a rosary together. We'll take time out and we'll say, okay, we need to talk about some things. So another thing is that Ben wrote a husband's or father's reflection on grief in my book, because we both believe that most men do not deal with grief the same way that women do, that actually don't tend to express it at all. And so this was a way that we both felt like he could maybe indirectly give men permission to express their sadness if they're in a similar situation.
Wow. Right.
Jeannie, I've mentioned your website, lovealonecreates.com. Are there other ways that people can get a hold of you, and can they have you come and speak and do other activities for them?
Yes to all. So you just go on my Contact Me tab on my website, and then it'll have a form you can fill out if people want me to come speak, which I do. Or, you know, it has my email address, too, that people can directly contact me that way.
Wonderful. Well, Jeannie, you know, you and your husband and your family and your daughter, Sarah, are just an inspiration to just everybody for everything, not just faith, but the beauty of life and the beauty of having that deep love for the cross and for Jesus Christ and his message and everything else. And we want to just support you in any way we can in your future journey with Sarah and the Apert syndrome. And thank you for coming on the Catholic Doctor Show to share your story.
Thank you so much for having me today.
What a great show.
Yeah,
I mean, great story.
Beautiful story.
And really somebody that needs our prayers, but they're doing wonderful, and just goes to show you that it's not always a bad story.
It's an inspiration,
when you receive
really.
That diagnosis.
Absolutely.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Until next time, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.